Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Max Licato tells a wonderful story about Chippy the parakeet, and I want to share that story with you today. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage, the next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it into the cage. Then the phone rang. She turned to pick it up, and no sooner than she had said hello, shoop, Chippy got sucked in. The bird owner gasped and put down the phone and turned off the vacuum cleaner and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom and turned on the faucet. She held Chippy under the cold running water. Then she realized that Chippy was soaked and shivering. So she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hair dryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter that had initially reported the story contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. "Well," she replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." Can you relate to Chippy? Most of us can. Oh, one minute you're in familiar territory. Everything is going just fine. There's even a song on your lips. Then the pink slip comes. The rejection letter arrives. The doctor calls. The divorce papers are delivered. The check bounces. A policeman knocks at your door. Can you relate? Do you often find yourself in the eye of the storm? As I mentioned a moment ago about my mother's passing, our family has found ourselves in the eye of the storm for several weeks. And that last week was a very difficult week. And not only did she pass away on that Thursday, but then the following Sunday we would be having her service, and much of those arrangements fell to me as a minister in making those. And so we had her service last Sunday where I preached that service. It was an emotional time for me as well as all of our family members. I returned home last Sunday night absolutely worn out. In God's timing again, Monday was Labor Day, a holiday, but I found myself physically worn out and emotionally bankrupt. So I needed that day to rest. But Tuesday was coming, and Tuesday I could spend time in preparation for this sermon, and I'd already done some work, but I could really, really polish it up on Tuesday. But you see, Tuesday had its own set of storms here in this congregation. And before I could even arrive at Baptist South with one family that was experiencing a terrible storm, I received a call of another member that was being transported there by ambulance as well. You see, storms happen. Would you make a note of this, please? As believers, we are headed into a storm, in the midst of a storm, are coming out of a storm. In fact, storms are not a matter of if, but when. They will come. Look with me in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. Here Luke records for us the wonderful story of Jesus and the disciples finding themselves in the middle of a storm. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side and set out," the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, for the fact that you are with us in the storms of life. We know that they are coming, but help us to place our faith in you in those times of difficulty and to realize that you will see us safely across that stormy lake. I ask that you would use this time, Father, that you would take me and get me out of the way. Hide me behind this cross. May the words that I share this day be your words that need to be proclaimed from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke correctly calls the Sea of Galilee a lake. In fact, that's exactly what it is, just simply a big lake. Let me illustrate that for you in just a moment here. If you'll use your imagination and think about a bowl. Donna recently got a new set of Everyday China, and these were the bowls. When I pulled this out, I thought, wow, I can't wait to eat a bowl of ice cream. But I want you to think of me, and just use your imagination that this is the Sea of Galilee, that big lake. It's 6 miles across and 13 miles long. It's a pretty good size lake. And it happens to sit 600 feet below sea level. It is surrounded by mountains. It's a freshwater body of water. And these mountains that surround the lake act as a funnel with the wind. So without warning, the winds coming across the Arabah of the desert can go across those mountains and then just be funneled down into this bowl, this lake. So use your imagination and just picture the disciples in here, if this bowl would be filled with water, and all of a sudden it begins to move left to right and forward and backwards, and they find themselves in one moment on a glassy sea and the next moment just being shaken in every direction. They think that they are going to perish. Mark even tells us that this event takes place at night, which would help us also understand that perhaps there were clear skies one moment, and then all of a sudden those stars were covered with clouds as this storm just rushed in on them. It would also explain why Jesus is sleeping at this time. So would you make a note, please, that the fact calls forth that storms come even when Jesus is with you. Storms come even when Jesus is with you. Jesus proclaimed that in this world we would have trouble. We would have times of tribulation, but to take heart that he has overcome the world. The disciples were obeying Jesus. They were following his command and doing exactly what he had instructed them to do. But they ran directly into a storm. Their obedience literally took them into the nucleus of disaster. I wish that I could tell you that when you follow Jesus, you'll never have to face any storms. I wish that I could tell you that when you follow Jesus, the waters of life will always be calm. I wish that I could tell you that when you follow Jesus, life will always be rosy and your days will always be sweet. I wish that I could tell you, but I can't. You see, there are occasions in our lives where storms are a consequence of our actions, but that is not always the case. So, do you find yourself storm-struck today? Oh, maybe you find yourself in the middle of a physical storm. Maybe you've heard those dreaded words from a physician, cancer. And you're dealing with that physical problem, and it is just tearing you up as you think and focus upon this big need in your life. Or maybe you're in the middle of an emotional storm, and there's someone that you love very dearly, but they've hurt you very deeply. And you find yourself in the grip of an emotional storm. Or maybe you find yourself today in a financial storm. What was once liquid has now dried up. Maybe you have been called into your supervisor's office and that conversation started with something like this: "You're a great worker, but..." Do you find yourself in a financial storm? Or maybe you're like me and you have a teenage driver, as I once had, and you receive a phone call from that son or daughter and the conversation goes something like this: "Hey, Dad, does our insurance cover the other guy's car?" Storms will come. It is a fact that storms come even when Jesus is with you. Do not be guilty of following immature theology. Do not listen to TV preachers that say, "Follow Jesus and all your problems will be solved." Because when you start reading through the New Testament, you discover that that is not the case in the least. From this passage that we're looking at today, as well as many, many other passages, storms will come. Secondly, fear cries out when you focus on the storm. Fear cries out when you focus on the storm. It was May of 1983 in Montgomery, Alabama. Don and I were living over near the Coliseum, 517 Ferndale Court to be exact. It was early one morning and we were sleeping. In fact, we had overslept. It was very dark and we had slept too late. And in my mind, I thought that I could hear the civil defense tornado siren. But I continued to sleep, and then that horn would make it circle one more time and I would begin to wake up and thinking that, yes, that was the siren. And so I jumped up out of bed, I ran into our den, I clicked on the TV, and I listened to a report that stated that a tornado had been spotted out around the airport and was heading to North Montgomery. I made my way into the kitchen and I got a glass of water, and we had a window right in front of our kitchen sink, and I was standing there drinking the water when all of a sudden the rain started to blow in and the wind, and it was as if the rain was going sideways, and I watched in amazement as that window in front of me began to shake and the glass almost seemed to bow before my eyes. I put the glass down and ran out of the room screaming for Donna. As I made my way through the dining room, the windows in the dining room blew out behind me. I yelled for Donna again. She could not hear me for the sound of the tornado. I was worried about her and worried about our little baby. As I made it into the hallway, she was coming out of Jonathan's room carrying him. And we fell down over that little child in the hallway. I still remember putting Jonathan's pacifier back in his mouth as he was crying. And I was scared to death. I was fearful. And I began to pray at the top of my lungs, praying like a Pentecostal, that God would hear my prayer in the midst of that storm. Let me ask you, how do you think the disciples acted when they went back to Jesus? Now, here they are, scared to death, and Jesus is asleep. Do you think that they walked back there and they said, Jesus, we hate to wake you, Jesus? No, they didn't do that. They went back and grabbed him and shook him and said, Jesus, help us. We are about to perish. Think about it. They are fearful for their lives, and Jesus is asleep in the boat. Have you ever felt like Jesus is sleeping in the middle of your problems? Have you ever felt like those prayers are unanswered and you find yourself in the eye of the storm with no response from Him in the least? You see, the disciples were projecting the worst in this situation. They were focusing on their fear. We've heard it said before that fear stands for false expectations appearing real. Fear is a difficult emotion for us to cope with. In fact, if we're not careful, we will allow Satan to take our fear, transform it into a stick, and beat us with it. Isaiah writes that God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Fear cries out that we are perishing, but God speaks forth from the thunder, and from the storm He speaks. C.S. Lewis says that He shouts in our pain. He shouts in our pain. I'll never forget a story that Paul Harvey once told about fear. He told a story of an Arkansas farmer that was having a problem with some kind of varmint getting into his chicken house at night. And so in the middle of the night, he heard a commotion outside. He jumped up, he grabbed his double-barrel 12-gauge shotgun, and he headed out with that shotgun, a flashlight, and just wearing his nightshirt to find out what was going on. But once he made it out to the chicken yard, he began to get a little fearful because he had heard another farmer talk about a rabid fox. This fox was foaming at the mouth, had rabies, and so he began to get very worried and fearful. What if this fox bites me before I can shoot him? And as he's thinking these fearful thoughts, his faithful hound dog comes up behind him with his cold nose, nuzzles him on the leg, and boom! Both barrels are fired. 12 hens died. Now, they died because of the shotgun, but technically they died because of the farmer's fear. Fear can be a terrible emotion in our lives. Thirdly, faith calms down when you focus on the Savior. Faith calms down when you focus on the Savior. Jesus simply got up, rebuked the wind and the raging sea. You see, my friends, one word from Jesus sent the howling storm back to its kennel. Psalm 65:7 tells us that He stills the roaring sea, the roaring waves, and the tumult of our lives. Where is your faith? Jesus asked the disciples. You see, He is moving these disciples from fear to faith. Fear, false expectations appearing real, to faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. Faith is a verb. It's not something you have, it's something you do. Faith is the whole person response to the coming of Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I love Dale Huff. I love to hear him speak. I love the difference that he has made in my life, the difference that he has made in all of our lives. And recently, he was sharing here from this pulpit in a funeral service. And Dale shared these words. I was seated right back in the back. He said, "There are three types of psalms." Now, Dale is a smart guy, so I pulled out my pen and thought, now this is going to be a deep theological thought. And Dale said, "There are psalms that are a sob, psalms that are a sigh, and psalms that are a shout." And on your outline, I have Psalm 121:1, which is a psalm of a shout. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." My friends, when the boat of life starts rocking, remember, God is in control. So what do you do? What do you do when you find yourself in the storm of life, right in the middle of the eye of the storm? Well, let's talk about some application points very quickly here. First of all, evacuate. Evacuate. You may not need to ride out the storm. Oh, sometimes that may be necessary, but it may not always be necessary. Maybe you need to evacuate. Have you ever noticed when we have a hurricane out in the Gulf and there's a mandatory evacuation of the barrier islands and such, that the TV reporters will go out and they'll always interview someone that's going to ride out the storm? And many times you hear this individual talk and they say, "Well, yeah, I know it's a Category 4 storm and I know it's a mandatory evacuation, but I've got this $300 boat right here that I'm worried about, and I'm going to stay here and make sure that, you know," risking their entire life for a $300 boat or something of that nature. This is the kind of individual, you know, whose last words are, "Hey, y'all, watch this." But every time there is a hurricane in the Gulf, we will hear some story like that. And we laugh at that and we think, how silly. But let me ask you, are we guilty of doing the same thing in our life when we find ourselves in the middle of a storm? And so what I'm asking you to do is to pull away, because that problem might be right before your eyes and it's affecting your vision. So pull away, give some distance where you can see the big picture. I'm not talking about running away and hiding from your problems, but I am talking about taking a short day trip, maybe longer, and pulling away, and taking your Bible and a pen and a notepad and looking at things from a distance and writing down the pros and cons of this situation, and begin to read the book of Philippians and see what God has to say to you that day with the problems that Paul was facing way back when, and make the application. Use this time to study God's Word, to pray, to think. Vance Havner said it this way, "Come apart before you come apart." You remove yourself from all electronic distractions. No phone, no email, no social media, things of this nature. Letter B is move to higher ground. Move to higher ground. Don't jump in a ditch. When the water is rising, the last thing you want to do is jump in a ditch. But don't we see people doing that when they're faced with problems? Now, I'm not talking about literally jumping in a ditch, but their reactions to their situation just create even greater problems for them. Be careful. Don't face a storm with a reaction that makes matters worse. See? Have an emergency plan. Avoid dirt and debris. Decide in advance how you're going to respond if and when a storm arises in your life. Now, let me illustrate this. How many of you are planning on going to work tomorrow? Would you raise your hand, please? All right, look across the room. All of these people are saying, we're going to work tomorrow. You see, you have already decided in advance that you're going to work tomorrow. And unless there is some unforeseen thing that happens today or tonight, you're going to be there tomorrow morning. Maybe you're going to make some advance preparations. Maybe you'll put out your clothes that you're going to wear tomorrow. Maybe you'll set an alarm clock. Maybe you will even pack a lunch. You begin making preparations in advance for tomorrow. Do the same thing in the storms of life. Have an emergency plan. Avoid the dirt and the debris of negative attitudes and emotions. Have an emergency plan in place and stick with it. Finally, rest in the loving arms of Jesus. The levees of His love and protection never fail. Psalm 46:10 tells us to be still and know that He is God, but that verse literally means cease striving. Cease striving and know that He is God. One of my favorite passages from the Old Testament is Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. You see, it was 9 years ago that Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. The levees broke, and we saw the catastrophe that followed. But the levees of God's love and protection never fail. So here is the concluding point for you this morning. Trust that Jesus will get you to the other side. Trust that Jesus will get you to the other side. You see, in Luke chapter 8, verse 22, it was Jesus' idea to cross this lake to begin with. And He said, let's go over to the other side. That should have been enough for the disciples right there to realize that He would see them safely across the lake. Whatever the storm, if Jesus is in your boat, He will get you to the other side. You see, my friends, defeat is not falling down. Defeat is staying down. Someone has said that as believers, we fall down, we get up. We fall down, we get up. We fall down, we get up, all the way to heaven. Well, as I thought about these thoughts today and the eye of the storm, I jotted down a little poem that I want to close and share with you. I hope that you will find it useful. When your life is filled with darkness, disappointment, hurt, and strife, and you've run from God and given up on life, you may ask, will He still use me? I've not listened to His call. Simply stop and pray, giving Him your all. Turn to God, He's waiting there for you. Turn to God, He'll make your heart brand new. Don't worry about your past. His love for you is cast. Turn to God and do His will today. It matters not how deep the sin, how low the lowest low. There is no sea too deep for God to go. Just trust His means to use you and accomplish now His will. He's reaching down, waiting for you still. Turn to God, He's waiting there for you. Turn to God, He'll make your heart brand new. Don't worry about your past. Your storms, they will not last. Turn to God and do His will today. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, how we thank You for Your promise of meeting our needs. Forgive us for the times when we focus on fear rather than focusing on faith. We call to You and ask that You meet our storm needs this day, whatever they may be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.